In Isaiah 61, as we mentioned, and we began last time our pastor was gone, I mentioned that we were going to begin a series on the next few times that he was gone on the fabric of grace was the name of the message. And the last time we met on part one was regarding the robe of Christ that was woven from top to bottom, without beginning, without end, and it was complete, and it couldn't be rent. The Lord, it was just a picture of grace, and every fabric that we're going to look at is kind of going to describe those type of things, and the very threads that made up this robe of Christ, they were all interwoven and all interlocked, and each one was a type of the grace of God, and they were all intricately woven together, and there was every thread that was needed, and there was none that were left out. It was perfect in every respect and woven from eternity by the hand of grace. And what a picture that was. That woman that came up to him said, "If I could just touch the hem of it, that would be what I need." And today, the fabric that we're gonna, when I was talking this over with Norm, I said, "Oh, I'm gonna do a series on this fabric of grace," and he says, "The robe of righteousness, the robe of righteousness." And I said, "Right. That's it. So that's where we're going today. And I mentioned that in the original outline. I said we're going to look at the robe of Christ, and we're going to look at the robe of righteousness, and we're going to look at maybe the coat of many colors, and if we have time, sometime we'll maybe look at the fabrics that enclosed the tabernacle. There was layers upon layers of different fabrics in the tabernacle, and each one of those layers represent some aspect of grace that we'll examine when we get to there. So when I started studying in on this, I thought it was kind of one of those things that when you start looking for it, you just see it everywhere. And everything that we find in the Scriptures is there for a purpose to tell us something about the Lord and His redeeming work of the church. And they're not just in the Scriptures for no purpose. They're there, and as we grow in grace, sometimes He allows us to see more and more of Him, and then when we see more and more of Him, then we see more and more of Him, and that's just kind of the way grace is. So as we look at this, our text verse today, in verse 10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord." And boy, I really appreciated those songs that Mike Richardson brought. Every one of them were praising God for what He did, and for not sparing His own Son, sent Him to die for us, and all those things that Isaiah is saying here. We're going to kind of go back to the beginning of the chapter here in a minute, but in verse 10, "So I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation." It wasn't something He came up with on His own. He laid it solely at the feet of Jesus. "He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewelry." And there's just so much in this chapter that we could go on and on about that, but we're going to have to stay focused here to the time that we have this morning. But this robe of righteousness, this garment of salvation, it's just a metaphor for Christ Himself, for the fabric of grace is found throughout the Scriptures, and this righteousness, that God provides this imputed righteousness that he applies to us is found from the very beginning of the Bible. If we were to go back to Genesis, the very first chapter, and we would read in the very first verse that God created the heaven and the earth, and then the earth became without form and void. And if you look those words up, it describes kind of a calamitous situation, a turmoil, a bad thing. And then it says, the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. And when you look up that word moved, it says brooded. And it kind of gives the picture of a hen brooding over her eggs, covering them, protecting them until they hatch and become chickens and or whatever. And so then we go right to Genesis chapter 3, and we have the relate to us the fall in Adam, and what do we find? A covering. And that's what that brooding is. It's a covering. And that's what this robe of righteousness is. This word robe is a covering. This garment of salvation is a covering. And so we're looking at it from that aspect today. From Adam tried to make his own covering. He knitted himself an apron out of fig leaves to cover his nakedness. And that did not work out well. I always kind of thought that was the humorous, because fig leaves are kind of scratchy, not good, and they're not very durable. But we find that's what the robe of righteousness that the Lord provides us to cover us is durable, and it fits perfectly, and it's made out of the best things. Fine linen, it says in the scriptures. And he made a covering for Adam and his wife. He took skins and made a covering for them. He clothed them, it says. And in order for that to happen, skins just do not appear out of nothing. Skins come off of living things that are killed, and their skin is taken from them and utilized for other things. We're pretty familiar with that process here, I think. So this, from the very beginning, our point is that from the beginning of the Bible, it tells us about the nakedness that we find ourselves in toward God because of sin and the fall, and our inability to cover ourselves, and the Lord sending his son, not sparing his own son, but sending him as that hymn we just sang. God spared not his own son, but sent him to die for us, to cover our sins. And so our text from Isaiah chapter 61:10. He hath clothed me with the garment of salvation and covered me with the robe of righteousness. The whole chapter speaks to the grace of God in salvation to a people. As Craig read our scriptures from verse 1, to a people who, though in bondage to sin, that were captives in prison, all these things that describe how we are in our nature before we're reborn, in prison, yet the Spirit of God has moved upon them. And as it's related to us in Ezekiel 36, remember the I Will chapter that we always like to go back to, Ezekiel chapter 36. I will take them out of from among the heathen. I will wash them. I will clean them up. I will breathe into them the breath. I will wash them and give them a new heart, take away their old heart. And all these things that God does for them. And then, what does it say at the end? And then you will look at your old ways and loathe yourself for your ways which were not good. That's kind of a paraphrase of that. I'm not going to read that whole thing. But he says, you'll loathe yourself in your own sight for your iniquities and your abominations. And that's a position we find ourselves in. And we're naked and exposed in that condition before God. And yet here in Isaiah, the God sending his son, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings. Here's some good news to the meek. Those, we're not meek in our natural state. We're meek when we get to be like Isaiah, when he says, well, as Mike read in the Bible class, I saw the Lord on his throne, and I said, uh-oh, woe is me. And then he says, your sins are covered. Your sins are purged. Fear not. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We become brokenhearted when our sin is revealed to us, as Ezekiel said, I'm going to give you a new heart. And the new heart's going to look at your old ways and say, oh, man, that is so awful. To proclaim liberty to the captives. We're captives all our lives to sin until the Lord sets us free. The opening of the prison to them that are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn. Remember in the Matthew's Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are they that mourn, that they shall be comforted. I've sent them a comforter. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. They're sitting there with sackcloth and ashes on their head, and the, God is going to send them beauty. The beauty of his son taking care of their problem there. The garment of praise. Again, this covering, it says. This garment. The garment of praise for this spirit of heaviness. They're feeling, as in Ezekiel when he said, you're going to loathe yourself after I give you a new heart. But then he's going to give you, as Isaiah says, rejoicing in the Lord because he's taken care of it. He's done it all. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And then it gives us this metaphor, this analogy of the old waste places are built up. And at the end of the chapter it says, as the earth bringeth forth her bud, you know, all this winter we've been looking at the orchard out there and the trees are all dead looking. They're just a bunch of sticks sticking up there. And then one day you go out there and there's all these kind of red things sticking up in the air, these new growth. And we the other day we were out there and your wife says, oh, look, the buds are coming on. Well, they looked dead last week. And so he uses this analogy here that as the earth bringeth forth her bud, when it seemed dead and trespasses and sin, as a garden causes things that were sown in it to spring forth. The word of God goes, is sown forth and suddenly springs forth in praise and before all nations. They just tell everybody, oh boy, guess here's something wonderful. And, you know, Jesus, I think Mike alluded to this in the Bible class in Luke chapter 4. Jesus, he quoted this Isaiah 61, most of 61, 1 and 2 and 3, when he came out of, I think it was Capernaum, he came out and went to the temple and they handed him a scroll and he opened it to Isaiah 61 and he read that. He read and he said, he closed the book and said, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. He hath sent me. I'm here, he said. And of course, if you read on a little bit longer in that chapter, you'll find out they took great umbrage. The ones that were unbelievers said, hey, that's not cool that you said that. And they just didn't understand. And when the new birth causes us to remember our former state, our iniquities, which the Spirit reveals to us all too clearly, and we enter into this state of mourning for our sins, a state of being brokenhearted, a sense of meekness in which we know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, and nothing, there's nothing in me that would elicit or invoke a reaction of mercy from God. And contrarily, establish every motive for wrath. Because we're at enmity with him. He looks at us and says, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've sent my son to redeem you and save you. And yet we're still kind of glaring at him, and we're not in a good position there. And into that state where we're brought to know that Jesus has been anointed to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor, to give them the good news that their sins have been paid for. In the scriptures that Mike read earlier, your sins have been paid for double. It says that in like three different places. You've received double for your iniquities, not just barely. I didn't just miserly dole out enough grace to just barely cover it. It's double. And you get the double blessing, more than you could hope for. You get the garment of salvation, the robe of righteousness, that robe that declares that in God's eyes, your righteousness, and it covers completely. And this good news heals their broken heart by saying their sins and iniquities I will no more remember. They're covered. It lets them know they've been delivered. He says to deliver them. And in the old West things, they were saying, well, there was a jail delivery. This guy was locked up and his pals came and hooked their ropes on the back window and yanked out the bars, and the guy escaped, and they call that a delivery, being taken out of the prison that they probably justly were incarcerated. So their ransom was paid, all their debts are covered, and Isaiah adds in those couple of verses in chapter 61 verse 2 to comfort all that mourn. And then he says in verse 3 there, to appoint. And that means to impute, convey, or determine. To impute something to those people that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of the mourning that they're experiencing, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. All these bad things that we have are exchanged for the good things that are provided by the Lord. Even though that we say, thank you, Lord, for exposing them in me by giving me a new heart and a heart to see how our sins and iniquities are in relation to the most holy God that we just didn't understand. And saving us from being like Adam and trying to cover ourselves with our own righteousness. People are always saying, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to tell God a thing or two. I'll tell him how the cow ate the cabbage. And if I didn't do enough good things in my life to overcome the few, very few bad things that I did, well, who needs him? That's kind of the attitude of people. When the Lord gives us a true sense of sin, then we get a true sense of deliverance. And only then. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, a sprouting up of righteousness that glorifies God. The trees sprout up and they're visible. All the things that they don't deserve that are given to them by free grace alone. Now, this this first fabric of grace we have in here in verse 10 called the garment of, let me read it here, he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. And that's a metaphor, it's an analogy there that shows that it's a covering, it's a imputed covering to us, provided by someone else. And just as we saw in Genesis, that from the very beginning, someone else had to pay the price to provide that covering. And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful. It's been all these things causes him to say, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. How great thou art, as that other hymn that we sang that was so appropriate. Because he's clothed me with the garment of salvation, he's covered me with the robe of righteousness. Grace is always a perfect fit, too, if you ever notice that. It's never too small. Well, he didn't quite give me enough. It's always double, but it's not too big. It fits you perfectly. It covers all your iniquities. It covers all your sin. It covers every problem. And that these are really just metaphors for Christ. They're not, you don't really just go in the closet and get something out and put it on and say, okay, I'm saved now. It's just a metaphor for Christ, our robe of righteousness, as Mike pointed out in Jeremiah in the Bible class this morning in chapter 23. He is called the Lord our righteousness. That's his name. And then in chapter 33, he talks about the church, and they say, this is the name wherewith she shall be called. It's the same. The Lord, our righteousness. He is it. In Romans, the 13th chapter, Paul kind of closes out that chapter, and he says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the covering that takes care of all the issues. The robe of righteousness it's a covering. Mike mentioned it was interesting. We kind of talked a little bit earlier this week about a couple of things that we were studying, and he mentioned that, and I says, well, isn't that interesting? He's bringing a text from Isaiah chapter 32 about the man, Emmanuel, God with us. The man, Jesus Christ, being a covert from the tempest. And if you look that word covert up, it says cover, covering. Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness. And this king, the man, Jesus Christ, shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a cover from the tempest. A great rock that we can get behind. A cover for the nakedness of our sins and our iniquities before God. I think we mentioned in one of our earlier studies, we went back to Ezekiel chapter 16, and Norman had brought this out in one of the Wednesday night lessons, I think. And in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 1, again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. Well, how does that happen? He delves into that in chapter 36, and it says, I'll give them a new heart, a heart to know me as God. And then they'll look at their own ways, which were not good, and shall loathe themselves. So here we have it in chapter 16, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations. And say, thus saith the Lord God to Jerusalem, thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, thy mother a Hittite. It's a metaphor for the church, and saying the church is in the world, and That's where you come from. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou was born, thy navel was not cut. Then your umbilical is still attached to that. Neither was thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou was not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. Now there's several sermons right in there that water of the word that we're told about in the New Testament, the you are the salt of the earth, that kind of thing, nor swaddled, no, that you weren't swaddled. That means you had no covering. You were just laying there naked and kind of disgusting looking, is what this scripture says. And that's how we are in our sin. None I pity thee to do any of these things to thee, to have compassion upon me. And as the analogy goes, that being in it, it was unable to do those things for itself, had no ability to provide any of those things of its own self. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted, that's what the Lord said. When I walked by and saw thee polluted, in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou was washed in thy blood, live. I said unto thee, when thou was in thy blood, live. I've caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and has increased and waxen great, and thou art come to excellent ornaments. Thy breasts are fashioned, thine hair is grown, whereas thou was naked and bare. Now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was a time of love. And that's an eternal time from God. I've loved thee with an everlasting love. And he said, and I spread my skirt, my covering, over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou became mine. And I don't remember which lesson we were in, but we ran across that same, I think it was Norman's lesson that he brought out from Ruth in chapter 3, verse 9, where Ruth the Moabitess went into Boaz and laid down at his feet, and he covered her with the edge of his skirt, and she became his. What a beautiful picture there. Back here in Ezekiel, in chapter 16, verse 9, then I washed I thee with water, the water of the word. Yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. It's just like in Isaiah. I'm taking away the disgusting bad things and replacing them with the good things. I shod thee with badger skins. One of the coverings of the tabernacle is badger skins, ram skins. And I girded thee about with fine linen, and I covered thee with silk, the best things, the best materials. I decked thee also with ornaments, and I put bracelets upon thy hands, and a chain on thy neck, and I put a jewel on thy forehead, and earrings in thine ears, and a beautiful crown upon thine head. Thou was decked with gold and silver, and thy raiment was of fine linen and silk, embroidered work. Thou didst eat fine flour and honey and oil, and thou was exceedingly beautiful, and thou didst prosper into the kingdom. And thy renown went forth among the heathen for thy beauty, for it was perfect through my comeliness which I had put upon thee. Now it goes on through the rest of that chapter, and it kind of gives a warning to the church not to do as the church in the wilderness was, when God showed them many things, and yet they rebelled against him and kind of went off their own direction. And he says that all those things happen, but he closes out, he says, but nevertheless, I remember my covenant with you. It's not dependent on you. it's dependent on me remembering my covenant. It's dependent on me giving you the robe of righteousness, covering you with the garment of salvation, the fabric of grace, the fine linen, the embroidered work, the finest material made the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness, exceedingly fine. John noted in his revelation in that they're made white in the blood of the Lamb. That's a spiritual metaphor. You don't take a bucket of blood and wash something in it and expect it to come out white. That is just physically, that is not going to happen. But spiritually, that blood of our substitute, it provides us a robe, a covering. And it's because it's the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see pictures of him in the scriptures, in his more natural condition, when he went to the Mount of Transfiguration, he was just glowing light, and his raiment was white as light itself. And when we see pictures of him in Revelation, that everything about him is white and bright and light, and the saints, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I counsel to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou may be rich, and white raiment, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And of course, this nakedness, a picture, as we've gone through here and shown, a picture of our natural condition in sin, and the whiteness of the robes is a manifestation of the pureness and the righteousness of God in Christ, which is imputed to the church through Christ, through his death on the cross, through his work in satisfying the righteousness of God. A robe, the fabric of which has no imperfections. It's as pure and fine as Christ himself, and it's a covering for his people. A covering of their nakedness, a covert from the tempest. And so, with this heaven-sent knowledge, the church rejoices in the finished work of Christ for them. And that's what Isaiah says here in verse 10 of our text verse. I'll greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he hath clothed me with the garment of salvation. For he hath covered me with a robe of righteousness. And so we'll close there until next time. And as we always say from John chapter 8, verse 36, where the Lord said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. So be free, my friends, till the next time. Brother Mike.